Hey, everybody. My name is April Lovett.
And my name is Daryl Lovett.
We've been together for 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old sweet and sassy little girl, an adorable and smiley baby boy, and our fur child, our dog, Lainey.
That's right. We also work our 9-to-5 jobs together, we teach together, and we co-own the Lovett Company.
That's right. We do so much together, and we wanted to share some of our tips and tricks for living out our 24/7 relationship.
Oh, yes. A relationship that is all day, every day.
Plus, we want to share with you how we manage to run our side business alongside full-time jobs and still find time for kids, chores, and fun. So in this podcast, the Success in Black and White podcast, we'll be talking about working towards success, overcoming failures, and just living our everyday lives.
So get ready. We're going to be bringing to you real talk concepts every week as we share some of our stories, best practices, as well as talk to guests about how they have found success by doing extraordinary things in their everyday lives.
Hey, friends, welcome back. We are coming back at you to talk more about success in black and white.
That's right. We're back.
So we wanted to get started with our show today. This is the first episode that we are recording after we've actually released our podcast into the world. And we've gotten such an overwhelming response from everybody. We are just very overwhelmed with all of the love and appreciation and just everything that you guys have sent to us. So we really wanted to start out today by just reading a review by one of our friends, and we consider you all friends that are listeners. So please, if you can, leave a review for us, rate us, and we'll talk more about kind of the process and how to do that in a second. But I wanted to read this week's review that comes from one of our featured insiders, Jamie Lynn. And Jamie says, "This makes me so happy. April is such a solidly sweet, ambitious, awesome woman, and I remember her talking about Daryl before they started dating while building their careers. So amazing to watch and listen to these two grow so much as a couple and individuals and how they make their differences their strengths. Cool. Listen. Hashtag goals." Thank you, Jamie Lynn. If you want to be a featured insider, please leave us a review either on iTunes or you can leave us a review on social media. But remember, if you leave us a review on social media, just make sure that you tag one or both of us. My handle is at April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms.
That's right. Tag one of us. But if you tag me, I'll give you a heart to your response. My social media handle is at I am Daryl Lovett. No, but seriously, tag me too. I want to see the reviews too.
Yeah.
Show the love. Show it to both of us.
I mean, you know, I send it to him, so it's okay.
Yeah, she does send it to me. So I get to see it, but it'd be nice to just have that little alert come through. And then I can be like, oh yeah. And then I can heart the comment. But she sends it to me. It's not the same because I can't even respond to it because I'm looking at hers. And then I'm like, oh, well, I guess they included me in that too. But no, seriously, though, include me.
So let's go into some life updates because that's what we usually do. So do you have any – you want to start life updates this week?
Absolutely. Okay. I'll start a life update. So – we just got back from our vacation / business retreat, and my life update is I'm ready for another one.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
A lot of fun. And we were able to get away. We mentioned this during the live episode that we were able to do while on the cruise. But we love our kids, but getting away from the kids is so so conducive to being able to work on business when we needed to and just being able to relax a little bit. So
absolutely.
That was nice.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
It was good to see them when we got back too, but while we were on vacation without them, it was fabulous.
Yeah, we did miss them.
We were able to sleep in and not have to worry about getting up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that.
All of it.
And then also, of course, the food was good.
I ate a lot of it. Yeah. I ate a lot of it. Working out extra hard this week. I'm working out extra hard.
Yes. So speaking of which, this morning we had to create a circuit just because we didn't want to run because it was raining outside early this morning. And so we work out together in the mornings and we had to create this circuit. And we went through the circuit once and we both looked at each other like, do we really want to go through this circuit again? It was hard.
It was.
Like, why do we torture ourselves?
Yes.
We had like mountain climbers and we had battle ropes and we had...
Press lunges
and chest presses and like the, it was just ridiculous.
Rows,
yeah.
Jump roping.
Yeah.
Bosu crunches.
Yeah. Like all the exercises for a minute at a time and we got like 20 seconds of rest. And so we made it through one circuit and we're like, can we really actually do another one?
We did though. We made it through a second.
We did.
Yes. And then after that, I was like, unless you're going to control me like a puppet through the remainder of this, it's not going to happen. But we did make it through two, and I was very proud of that.
Yes. We're doing some really cool things just with our business and even with the podcast. If you are not already an insider, you definitely want to be an insider because we send really cool emails and you're part of our insider Facebook group where we do a lot of live video and just we get to ask questions and we get to incorporate some of those things that we ask our insiders into our show, which is super cool. So if you want to be one, make sure that you go to our website, successinblackandwhite.com, and go to the, I think we changed it to become an insider tab.
Yeah, become an insider.
Yeah. We want you guys to be insiders. We don't just want you to subscribe. We want you to be in community with us. And that's really the goal, is to just be in a community of people who are always working towards their success, no matter what phase or stage of life or season of life they're in.
That's right. And one thing that we really strive on is making sure that we uplift each other. And that's why we want you to become an insider and be a part of our community, because that's one thing that you're always going to get from us is support, encouragement, inspiration, because we believe in uplifting you no matter where you are to help you get to whatever level of success that you're trying to reach. So become an insider so that you can be a part of our community and we can uplift each other together and celebrate each other's successes together as well.
Yes. So I think speaking of that, we want to probably get into today's topic that we're going to talk about, which we are labeling the Yellow Brick Road.
The Yellow Brick Road.
Like, you know, in The Wizard of Oz. I hope that people understand that reference.
Yeah.
They would, right? Like, everybody knows The Wizard of Oz. No?
2018. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, well, if you don't know it, go look up The Wizard of Oz and The Yellow Brick Road. Yeah.
Yeah, Google it.
But that's what we wanted to really focus on today. And I'm really excited because, just, you know, we said we would be raw and real and transparent. And typically I'm the one choosing the podcast topics. And this week, Daryl is the one who chose the podcast topic. So we are going to speak on this because he has a really impactful and really engaging life story. And it really comes down to this yellow brick road and following your own path. And so I'm excited to get into it. I can share a little bit from me, but I'm excited to hear a lot from him today.
Okay, absolutely.
So first, I think we really want to start out with when we talk about a life journey and your path in life, whether it's career path, whether it's life journey, whether it's relationship path, whatever it is, I'm curious because there's always somebody who, especially from a young age, who encourages you in your path and kind of helps you understand what maybe your path could be. So from your perspective, Daryl, who and or what really set your path, your life path?
Oh, that's easy. My parents.
Okay.
That's very, very easy for me to say. My parents. And I know I talk about it a lot and you've probably heard and you probably continue to hear. My dad, and still is a pastor. He was a pastor all of my life. So that was very influential on opportunities that I had, things that I were able to engage in, and my life trajectory, to be upfront. So my parents definitely were the determining factor in setting, I guess, my life course or my life chart for me at a young age. And then also, you know, I come from a really large family. So being very family oriented, not just for my immediate family, but our extended family, they also played a very important part and was very impactful in charting that as well. Because when we weren't in church, we were probably with family. And those are the two primary groups that I was engaged with growing up, my family and the church. So a lot of things that I experienced came later on in life. So that's kind of how, you know, my road was charted for me.
I want to talk a little bit more about that yellow brick road for you. So were there, what kind of expectations were coming from your parents and your family as you moved forward in your life journey? And can you kind of walk us down that yellow brick road with you?
Absolutely. So my parents, obviously, they were very supportive and they encouraged us to I want to say chase our dreams, but not really, because I felt like my dream was already kind of given to me. Mm. But to give a little bit more insight on that, it wasn't only my parents. Our church family and the members, they played such an intricate part on my identity and who I thought I had to be. Because my dad, and I love him dearly, and I can tell him this, but he had to look over not only our family, but our church family, because he was the shepherd of the flock. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times there would be instances where he had to take care of business and deal with certain situations for the church family. And maybe sometimes, you know, our immediate family maybe came second in certain instances. So to me, that kind of put in my, you know, in my mindset, in my head that, well, what the church family thought, their perception and what they had to say mattered as well. If my dad invested in them just as much as he did into my family. Mm-hmm. So when they would give feedback or say things or give their opinions, I took those for face value. So as I was going down my yellow brick road, you know, we had the people from the sideline giving their input on maybe you should consider this, maybe you should think about this. I knew it would influence my dad in his role, but also my family, church family, and immediate family. So that dictated a lot growing up, and that impacted me and kind of charted my life course for me. Mm. Not by choice, because there were some things that I didn't agree with and I would be mad about and I would be frustrated about, but because it felt like the right thing to do because of the situation and circumstance and the people involved, I would just negate my immediate feelings, my immediate thoughts, and just go with what they had set out for me. And I would do exactly like the song said, follow the yellow brick road.
What kind of things in your life would you say you really felt like you were being pushed towards that maybe weren't exactly for you?
Definitely. So when we talk about exposure, I wasn't really exposed to that much, to be honest. So when you say what things were I pushed towards or was I pushed towards, I wasn't really exposed to that much. And I felt like everything for me was related around the church, was around the religion. So, I mean, they already had identified me as an up and coming, you know, preacher. Pastor. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, that's the road that I'm on and maybe that's what I need to do. So I would adjust, you know, my characteristics and some of my behaviors to kind of mimic that. And then obviously with my dad being the pastor and you know, preaching and giving sermons, a lot of those characteristics and things I would pick up from him and I would just start to assign to myself and implement in my life actions. Because that's what everyone said. That's what everyone thought. So therefore, that's what I took on. And that's what I thought. Internally, I was like, man, this really isn't for me because I don't like this in this setting. But I would just take those feelings and just kind of stuff them down on the inside. And I would kind of live out, you know, my life that way. But those were also the expectations that people have for me. And even in the public, because my dad was a pretty well-known and big public figure where we grew up and where we lived. So those were the expectations that not only my church family, not only my immediate family, but the community had. Mm. And they would immediately know, oh, there's Daryl. That's Pastor Lovett's son right there. And it's just kind of like, okay, let me get in order. Let me stand up straight. Let me make sure I'm on point. Because I would be identified as not Daryl, but as Pastor Lovett's son. Mm. Yeah.
And I want to talk a little bit, too, because I think we've mentioned before that you made it to be an FSU football player.
Yeah.
And I know that football and sports specifically for you were a very large integral part of your life. So can you talk about how, if at all, was that part of that yellow brick road where you were following a path that maybe was for you and maybe was pushed to do?
So a lot of people really don't know much about my football career. And one day we'll probably do a podcast on it. Mm-hmm. And definitely in the book, I'll share a lot more. So I was a late bloomer in sports. Because as I said earlier, I spent most of my days, nights, weekdays, weekends at church. So I was a late bloomer in sports, when I'm talking about organized sports. So football was actually an outlet for me. So in football, I felt like I could go out there and I can put on a persona and be more of who I actually was. And it was also a stress reliever for me because I was stressed out at home a lot of the time. You take into, you know, all my sisters and then you,
five sisters.
Yeah. And then you live in, you know, under the microscope of being a PK, which is a pastor's kid and all of that. When I was on the football field, like I was me and it was an outlet for me and it was fun and I really enjoyed it. And it just so happened that I actually, you know, was athletic and I could learn and understand things very well. And coaches took a liking to some of my abilities and my skill sets and they kind of escalated that for me. And one of the things about football is that I never really loved football. And when you talk about the yellow brick road, my coaches and some of the administration at the school, they were like, this is for you. Like, you're good at this. This is what you need to do. And in my mind, being a people pleaser, I was like, well, maybe so. And never actually being fully in love with the game of football for the game of football, but as an outlet for me, I tried to make that transition to actually love football, to pursue it as something that would help me move forward, propel me in life. And then when I changed from using it as an outlet and it being just fun for me and making it more business oriented and task oriented is when internally I lost some of those feelings and emotions that I had originally when I started playing football. A lot of people don't know this. And then it actually became an outlet for my aggressions because it was a physical sport.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this is probably the first time that a lot of people are probably hearing this if you're not like very close to me or haven't had these conversations with me. But yeah, so then I became very aggressive and I was like a headhunter out there and I didn't mind hitting people and I just had this built up anger and aggression and that was my way of getting it out. So it went from being fun, it went from being an outlet to being a different type of outlet for aggression and stress.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I just kind of got on that journey and I was on that part of the yellow brick road in my life. And it presented some opportunities to me, but not because of the love of the game.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you had those opportunities, and I assume was one of your dreams was to go to the NFL. Did you want to do that professionally?
Yeah, that was, well, when you say one of my dreams, that was another dream assigned
from
to
somebody
me.
Else. Okay.
Yeah, because once that opportunity was put out there, and some of the, I guess, impacts of being an NFL player and making a lot of money and you know, I really didn't like the spotlight that much, but the money and the being able to support yourself and giving back and supporting family, that's when I was like, okay, maybe I can do this and pursue that. So that was something else that was put on me that I accepted and was like, okay, this is another part of the road. I'm just going to make this slight adjustment here and keep going this way. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how that happened. But like I said, growing up as a little kid, like my dream never was to grow up, be a football player, play in the NFL.
And what was your dream as a little kid?
You know, it was kind of skewed because, like I said, everybody...
You thought you
wanted
to be a pastor.
I thought I wanted to be a preacher. I thought I wanted to be a pastor. But I really didn't. And then I went through another phase, and it was like, you know, the traditional. Someone's like, oh, wow, doctors, they make a lot of money, and they do a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, maybe I could be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like, oh, wow, you're really good at football. Maybe you should try this. You might be able to make it as a football player. And I'm like, yeah, I want to be a football player. And never really took the time, you know, mm-hmm. to set my own course. And I found that out, like, later on in life, because a lot of the skill sets and a lot of the characteristics and a lot of the things that make me who I am now have always been there, but they've always been submerged, but they've always been inside of me. And it wasn't until I was a little bit older and kind of went through some adversities mm-hmm. and had to kind of check in with myself and dig really deep down into who I was and what I wanted to do. And I kind of adjusted and took some of those things that I've been packing down and that have been submerged and let them float to the top. Mm. And that's where they are now, and that's where they will stay. Mm.
So I want to dig a little bit deeper into you were at FSU.
Yep.
And you were a college football player. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the dream that was set in front of you by others' expectations
right.
was to be an NFL football star, right?
That's right.
And now you are not that. So, but I would venture to say, because I live with you and I know you and I love you and I get to see you, I see that you are happy doing what you're doing and you are fulfilling your calling in what we're doing. And so do you want to talk about kind of going from that, from following your dream of, or following other people's dreams for you,
right,
to finding your dream where you are now, and kind of, I don't think you have to give all the details because there's probably a large time span,
right,
in there,
but right.
I'm just curious, how did that come to be? How did you navigate your way out of living up to people's expectations for you to
right.
doing what you want to do?
So here's something that's really funny, and I'll share this tidbit, and then I'll kind of dive into answering that question for you. When I came to Florida State University, like playing football, it was still like something that I wanted to do at that time in my life and that I thought I wanted to pursue. But the avenue that I had to take to actually make the FSU football team was a journey in itself. And a lot of people don't know the story. And it was not like, hey, come on, be on the FSU football team. You're going to be a star. You're going to be great. It's like, no, when I came here, I got an invite from one of the coaches to try out for the football team mm-hmm. as what they called an invite back then. It's the same as a walk-on.
Okay.
And I was kind of like in between, am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this? So I had worked in the weight room for the football team my first year. Mm-hmm. And a football coach said, wow, like your size and your work ethic and everything, like you should do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, sure, let me do this. So I had an independent tryout. When I tell you I went out by myself, no one else, a couple of coaches were out there, and I literally ran through drills.
Wow.
And did a bunch of things by myself.
Just alone,
all by myself.
Just on the field.
On the field, by myself.
In the stadium.
Yep.
With empty seats.
Empty seats. Me, a couple of coaches, and like I had a formal tryout.
Wow.
And I continued after that to do what I was doing, and I was in the weight room, and I was working for the football team, and I was doing my thing, and they were like, hey, we want to invite you to be a part of the team. So that's
wow.
how I actually got on the football
okay.
team.
All right.
And what's so crazy is that the coach, one of the recruiting coaches, actually knew who I was prior to all of that.
Wow.
Because he had been, you know, in our region. He was responsible for our region It was like high school football.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So he knew who I was, or he was aware of who I was. He was aware of who I was because of our school size and some of the success that we had in high school on our football team. Not only that, but our basketball team as well. So they keep up with all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how I actually made the football team.
Wow.
Now, here's the crazy part, and I'm going to answer your question. My entire first year after I made the football team, I couldn't pass my physical for my knee because I had previously had knee surgery in high school.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't pass the test to be released to practice in the contact portion. So my entire first year, when they accepted me and they invited me and I made the team, all I could do was lift, work out, physical therapy, and attend practice and train, but I could not compete.
Wow.
My entire first year. A lot of people don't know that either.
Wow.
Except some of the players, and they're probably like, we always see him at practice and he's in the weight room and he's doing a lot. Who is this kid?
But they'll never let him put on a helmet.
He's not putting on helmets and pads, but he's out here and he's learning plays and he's running routes and he's doing different things. Who is this kid?
That's
like, I'm pretty sure that's what a lot of them thought. And then a lot of them I was very close with. Because we had all come in together. So, so that's kind of the beginning portion. So,
wow,
that's kind of how my football career at Florida State happened.
Okay.
There are a lot of pieces that, you know, I'll definitely share in the book. And if we do this specifically for this topic later.
Right.
But that's kind of how it got assigned. And by doing that, in my mind, I was like, wow, well, maybe this dream that someone told me before about going to the NFL could become a reality.
Wow.
And that's when I was like, okay, well, I'm going to work really hard and I'm going to actually chase this and see if I can make this happen. Not because I wanted to, but because it would put me in a financial state that would be supportive for me and my family.
Right.
Not because I wanted to play football, because I love to play football.
Wow.
That never was a part of it. That never was there.
Wow. So then how did you get to doing what you're doing, what we're doing together, and fulfilling your calling?
Right. So your purpose and your calling is a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will always be doing it in some capacity, whether you know it or not.
What? Say that again.
Your calling and your purpose is a part of you, and you will always be doing it in some form of capacity, whether you know it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is some real talk right there.
Yeah. So I was always finding myself in situations where I was inspiring people, motivating people, uplifting people.
Wow.
And I never knew exactly what I was doing. I never knew that it was my actual purpose and my calling. But I always found myself in the right place at the right time, helping the right people.
That's amazing.
And I, you know, when I look back, I'm like, man, like, that's what I was doing. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people tell me now, matter of fact, I just had a conversation with someone a couple of days ago, and they said, you were low key doing what you're doing now back in the days.
Mm-hmm. And how many years ago was that?
Oh, this was
not
years
to date you, but
and years and years ago. But that's what someone just told me. They said, you were low-key doing what you're doing now way back
then.
That's
crazy.
And I looked them dead in their eyes and I said, you know why? Because that was my calling and that's my life purpose.
Wow.
I just had this conversation with someone and it's so funny.
That is crazy.
But that's what they told me. They said, wow, man, like, I see what you and your wife are doing and it's so motivating and so inspirational. But you were low-key doing this way back then. And I told you, I looked him dead in his eyes and I was like, yeah, because that was my purpose. That was my calling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. And so now here we are. And I think like you're talking about, we can probably fill in some of those details from that point to here to where we are now. We'll definitely be in the book that we're writing. So we're excited about that. Stay tuned after a quick word from our sponsors, us. Friends, how many of you declare goals to lose weight, eat healthier, save money, stay more connected to family and friends? go after that dream career, travel to that one place, or whatever else you want to accomplish, only to find yourself falling off the wagon within a few weeks? The number one thing that people get wrong when they set goals for themselves is not declaring their goal in a way where they plan the action steps to succeed. This episode of Success in Black and White, the podcast, is sponsored by our very own Goal Crusher Guide and Workbook. Daryl and I are excited to bring to you this easy-to-use, comprehensive workbook. Even better, friends, for you, it's completely free. We love y'all, and our goal is to inspire as many people to succeed as we can. We want you to be able to not only go for your dreams, but to actually achieve them. This guide will help you establish goals based on your life values, prioritize your goals, write action steps, and make them visual so you're more likely to achieve them. You can get your free copy of the Goal Crusher Guide and Workbook on our website, successinblackandwhite.com/goalcrushers.
So before we transition, I just want to make sure, and I'll give like tips throughout because that's just the way that it's going to work out for this actual episode. But one of the questions that you need to be sure to ask yourself is, who is in charge of your life journey? I think that's one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself. Who is in charge of your life journey?
I feel like that can be a difficult question to answer when you when you think back to when you're younger. You know, and I'm not going to get too far into my story because I don't feel like my story is as
Don't you say it. You better not say it. Is what?
Well, it's not as it's not as impactful as
you
Daryl
better in not this, say it. I'm gonna
in this season.
I'm not gonna smack you, but
well, at least like, at least gonna, in like, what we're talking about right now,
it is impactful.
It's always impactful, but when we talk specifically about this subject,
y'all getting it like for real right now. Yeah, she's like about to get pinched. I'm not gonna.
I know.
I don't hit my wife.
Pinch me.
I'm not gonna smack her, but she's gonna get pinched because of that comment that she just made. And I want everybody to know that your story is impactful and it's on way for whoever needs to hear it.
It is. I agree with that. And
sorry not to call you out, but
no, it's okay. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We call each other out. He's right. Yes. I think that my story is impactful and it has a purpose. But when we talk specifically about this and about other people's expectations for your life journey, specifically for me, I feel like I've always been very blessed in the fact that my family and the people surrounding me have been incredibly supportive of my life journey and whatever I wanted to do. And there have been a lot of changes in my journey. I remember graduating high school and going to, I'm like, I'm going to go work for Habitat for Humanity and live in service the rest of my life, which I still love. And, you know, that could be something amazing that I could continue to do, but that's not, that was not my calling at that point specifically in that. And so then I moved on and I moved to Florida. And I remember having the phone call with my parents when I was still in Kansas. And shout out to my roommate Shiree from back then, because I know she listens to us. But from back then, I remember sitting in my room and Shiree was probably in there. And I called my parents and I said, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I want to move to Florida. Like, I'm 19 and I'm saying this. And my parents were like, well, have you thought about it? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, cool. Do it. And so, and you know, I told them I've always wanted to be a marine biologist, which was true. That was like my goal when I was a teen and an adolescent. And I still remember even in high school, our biology class, our teacher, when everybody else was dissecting frogs, he ordered me a shark to dissect because he knew that I wanted to be a marine biologist. Really, really cool. And so I moved to Florida to pursue that dream. And when I got through like the second organic chemistry class, I realized that this was not my strength and this is not the dream that I should be pursuing. And so I've been through a lot of changes in my journey. I've been from here to there to what we're doing now, which I feel is super impactful. And my family has been there every step of the way to support me. Even now, like, my mom is amazing, and she'll comment and say, like, I love what you're posting, and you're inspiring me, and that's just what I needed to hear today. And that just kind of puts me in the mindset that no matter what my life has brought to me, I've always been supported, and I don't feel like anybody's dreams have really encroached upon what I was supposed to be doing. And so I think that's why, even starting out this episode, I was like, this is going to be very focused on Daryl, because he had that life experience. So that's what I meant when I said my experience would not be as impactful in this way. But I really do want to kind of get back to you and to maybe some of your tips and tricks. Or did you have anything else that you wanted to share regarding specifically people's expectations of you and then moving forward from those to find your own?
Yeah. So where I am now in life, is easier for me to say this, but if I can encourage anyone that may be at a point to where they're trying to figure this out, or even if you need a refresher or to restart, you know, the question to ask is, who is in charge of your life journey? Mm-hmm. And then once you identify yourself as that person, because that's who it should be, you set your destination, you chart your course, and don't ever give up your driver's seat. Don't ever give up your driver's seat. So you set your destination, you chart your course, and don't ever give up your driver's seat. And then one of the things that's so easy for us to either miss or forget to do is enjoy and appreciate the journey.
Yes.
You know, enjoy and appreciate the journey. So, you know, think about it. You're going down the yellow brick road, like, you know, smelling the roses, looking at the trees, checking out the animals.
The puppies.
The what?
The pup from the movie, the puppies.
Oh, the little. Oh, yeah, those. I was like, what? Wait a minute. But yeah, that too. So that would be my, you know, I guess tips or whatever we call them. But
okay.
Those are the things that you definitely need to make sure. You set your destination, you chart your course, and don't ever give up your driver's seat. And enjoy and appreciate the journey.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. We know right now our listener age range is 24 to 35 is the primary.
That's
that's what they're telling us.
That's
what they're telling us.
I'm like, come on.
But you know what? I'm curious because, and this is actually what even launched me into my own really quick snippet of just my life path. But I'm curious, what about the people who are maybe younger? Like when you were younger and you're still really, as an adolescent and you're a child, you don't know what your life path maybe should be. Or maybe, you know, you're still kind of under the wing of your parents and you want to make sure that you're doing what they have set out for you. So how can somebody who is maybe transitioning from high school to college or in the college phase, who may listen to us, what advice would you have for them about charting your own course when they still feel maybe a little bit of pressure to be what their parents want them to be?
Right. So, and you know this, I guess, for the people. So I actually do motivational speaking and speaking engagements to high schools. And one of the things that I try to let them know is that stop looking for approval and start seeking support. I know that at the age that I was when I was in high school, like I was looking for approval to take my next step, not own what you want to do. Obviously, you need to make sure that you communicate it appropriately with whomever, your parents, guardians, teachers, counselors, but make sure that you communicate it appropriately. But don't wait for them to give you approval. You don't need their approval. It's your life. It's your journey. So once you set those stakes, you stick with them and you ride with them, and they're going to change throughout your life, and they're going to adjust as you become into the full person that you are. But you're always going to need support. And that's what those people should be there for. So when you're determining what you want to do, what you want to be, what road you want to go down, own it. Obviously, being able to communicate it appropriately, but don't wait for approval. But you need their support, and let them know that and say, hey, I'm not asking for approval because this is what I feel is my purpose, but I'm definitely going to need your support as mm-hmm. I take this journey.
Wow. Okay.
So that's what I would tell them. And that's the message that I give when I speak to, you know, the different high school students and that population is, you know, you don't need our approval. And that's one of the things that, you know, we try to make them feel mm-hmm. they need to be accepted. They need our approval. No, you don't. Do you, boo-boo? But you're going to need somebody there to support you, though.
You need the support, right?
Yep. So that's what I would tell them.
Okay.
And that's the message that I give to all of the different high school and that age range groups that I speak to.
I love that. In our notes here that I have in front of me, and I love this because Daryl wrote this out, and it's really an homage to The Wizard of Oz. But in really talking about who do you bring with you on your journey and how do you, in a very discretionary way, ensure that you have those people that are supporting you that you talked about. And so I love that he did this. He labeled them out as heart. You know, obviously, who was the heart? The Tin Man?
Yeah,
the Tin Man was the heart. Smarts, which was a scarecrow. Courage, which was the lion. And so I'm curious in each of those categories.
And then Toto.
And Toto.
You
oh, your road
the,
dog.
The road dog.
I wasn't even saying it because I'm like, what is he talking
That's
about?
The road dog.
The
you
road
know
dog
what I'm
is
saying?
Toto.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, my
I love
goodness.
It.
How you going to leave Toto out? That's the road dog. Like,
I know. I'm terrible. Oh. I hope that people, like, I hope if some of, I hope if there's, like, college-age students listening that you understand these references. Please tell me you've watched Wizard of Oz. Anyway, so let's
It's
talk.
Like a Broadway show now, too, though, right?
Yeah, I think
so
it is.
They might know the Broadway, not the movie.
What is the Broadway again?
I don't. Is it the Oz?
Oz, maybe.
Yeah, because they show it on TV like during the holiday seasons all the time.
Yeah, and there is one about the witches, and I can't remember exactly what that one is.
I don't care about no witches.
I think that's been the popular musical. Okay, well, let's talk about who do you bring with you on your journey to success when you talk about this. So, the heart. Let's start with the heart and the Tin Man. Who are those people for you?
So before we even go there, just I want to put this out there. It is your call on who you allow on your journey.
Mm.
Don't let people infiltrate your life and your journey. It's your call who you allow on your journey.
Mm. I like
so
that.
So, yeah, I want to make sure I put that out there. But when you're talking about the heart, and I have a couple of people that this overlaps with. So for me, Jamal, which y'all have heard the podcast.
Yep.
So Jamal, when you talk about heart and somebody that's going to be there and have like my heart and my feelings and my emotions is like one of their things that matter. Like they have that at their best interest. Like that's him. Not only that, his family as well. Not only that, my family.
Yeah.
Even though we don't always like agree and we have our little tiffs and little, I call them little side conversations sometimes. I know that they love me unconditionally
mm-hmm.
and that my well-being is very important. So when we're talking about heart, definitely Jamal, definitely my family, definitely his family, and even some of my extended family. I can't say it for all of my extended family, but I love all y'all, though. I hope y'all listening because I love all y'all. But, you know, sometimes extended family, you don't see them that much.
Yeah.
And you know, the connection is not there except for like the 3 or 4 days that you're together in a family reunion and you don't hear from them again for another 2 years until the next family reunion.
Man. And you have such a large family.
Yes,
oh my goodness. I was like, when I came in, so I come from a family of the total with all of us, with like cousins and aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpas, everybody, 16 people. And then I come in to Daryl's family reunion, and he's like, there's like 150 people here, but don't worry. It's only like a quarter of my family.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
she's like
what?
A total of 16 people. I'm like, my mom's one of 12. Like,
like I didn't know how to respond, but I love them all. And they're so, oh my goodness, they're so open and welcoming. And if any of y'all are ever listening, I hope that you don't feel offended if I'm like, please remind me your name and how, you know, you're related again, because that can kind of get me. But
yeah. So on my journey, obviously in the heart area, Jamal is definitely there. My family is immediate family is definitely there. And then some of my extended family is there as well. And then obviously, you know, you there, baby.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, obviously you there. Like, I feel like I don't need to say that anymore, but then again, sometimes it's good to just let you know.
Aw. You there, that's baby. That's true. What about the people, when you talk about smarts and we're looking at like Scarecrow, what about the people who you would bring with you on your journey or who would support you in your journey when you talk about smarts?
So that's crazy. So guess who else is in this category too?
Who?
Jamal. Ah! So just like
the y'all, man is very smart.
Yeah, this dude. Hey, just like y'all heard, you know, in our previous podcast, this dude got his undergraduate degree in micromolecular biology.
Who does that?
I'm like, what? And I dare you to ask him what his GPA was. Because it was way up there. He might even got a 4.0 if I'm not mistaken.
I would not be surprised.
But no, when you're talking about smarts, and what's so crazy is the dude has both sides. He has the book smarts, but he also has, we call it street smarts. Mm-hmm. And he definitely is right there. He riding with me when you're talking about smarts. And at the stage that he is in life, and he probably will laugh at me when I say this, he's like an old man smart. So like anytime we get ready to do anything or go anywhere, I'm like, all right, Jamal gonna plan all this stuff out. He gonna have an agenda for us. He gonna have
he
gonna have the maps. He gonna have the backup to the maps.
Hey, how do you back up maps?
I don't know, but he'll have it. It might be hand drawn with some highlighters. Hey, this dude, I call it the old man smarts, but no, Jamal is definitely there. And then there are some people that that I have in this category that don't even know that they're in this category. I call them like ghost mentors.
Oh,
yeah. So I have a couple of them that I listen to and I follow on podcasts, social medias, and I have some of their books and things. Mm-hmm. And it's like they always have a word for me. Mm. They always have something that I need to hear that's inspirational, that's motivating, or just knowledge that I just need. Mm. So I call these people my ghost mentors.
Who's your favorite?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Dope. My dude, Walter Bond.
Oh, I follow him too.
Yeah, that's my dude. So what's so crazy about it with Walter is that he poured into my life and didn't even know it.
Really?
Over a decade ago.
What?
Yeah.
How can he not know it? What happened?
I actually heard him give a keynote. This was probably, 10, 11 years ago. He gave a keynote. And I had an opportunity. He was, you know, obviously selling his books and different things like that. So I had an opportunity to just go and connect with him for probably about 8 to 10 minutes, which was longer than everybody else had. And he took like 8 to 10 minutes out of his time to talk to me. And that dude in 8 to 10 minutes poured into my life so much. Not only that, he took one of his books and said, "You're not going to have to pay for this book." And he wrote me a personal message.
What?
And he told me that I want you to take this book and let it guide you to finding your successful career. Not a successful job, your successful career.
Wow.
And I followed him over the past 10, 11 years, and I listened to him, and everything that he says, you know, I feel like is good information. And then sometimes there's some things that he says, and I'm like, dang, it's like Walt sitting right here in front of me telling me this because this is what I needed to hear.
Wow.
So right now, definitely, and the fact that he did what he did for me, over a decade ago, you know, you get people that are high profile like he is, and sometimes they don't take the time to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Unless you pay for like a coaching session or something.
Right, of course.
You know, but he spent like 10 minutes with me, and it was just me and him, like nobody else, just me and him.
Wow.
And that whole time it was like he was talking to my soul because he didn't entertain anybody else or anything that was going on around us. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then the last one is courage. So when we think about the lion from The Wizard of Oz and finding his courage, what do you think about in this category?
So who do you think I'm going to say in this category? If you had to take a guess.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
Jamal!
Jamal? I was actually going to say your sister.
No, I got them too. They were next. Okay. My sisters, look, right there. I wrote them down, my sisters.
You're right.
Yeah. Let me take a swig of water real quick. Sorry for that moment of silence. I just need some water.
He started looking at me all crazy. I'm like, what's going on?
Sorry, y'all. I wasn't getting emotional about my sisters. I love y'all, but no, I'm not getting emotional about my sisters. No, Jamal, definitely. When we talk about courage, just a lot of the life experiences that we've had together, but also when Papa Ross passed away and just kind of being with him through that and the courage that he had being the baby boy and some of the, you know, things that he wanted to experience, but he wasn't able to. And just being with him through that, you know, you want to talk about courageous. But not only that, my sisters. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to say just one of them. All of them are courageous because they've all had their different circumstances and situations and life lessons and life experiences. And just kind of seeing them go through some of the things that they've gone through and overcome a lot that they've overcame. Definitely. And then when you talk about courage, I think some of the people that I look to is like my grandmother, you know, on my dad's side.
How so?
And so you want to talk about somebody who just is going to live life to the fullest no matter what. That takes courage when people are telling you, you know, you need to calm down and sit down. You have, you know, heart issues and different things like that. My grandma, you know, and as long as she got Jesus, she going to be all right. And she's probably one of the most courageous people. The more that I talk to my uncles and find out more about the history and the background of things that you really don't pay attention to when you're younger, but when you get a little bit older, you want to know about the history and the context. And I find out from my uncles them, and I'm just like, good gracious, my grandma, you don't talk about a strong, courageous woman. That is definitely her. And to look at the experiences that I had with her growing up and to where she is now, at the age that she's at, and she's still kicking.
Yes.
And I mean,
like, she, not just kicking, no, like dancing, kicking.
Yes.
Every time I see her.
Fiery. And yes, my grandma will shout on you in a heartbeat. What?
So, probably a lot of people don't know what that means, but Google it.
Google it. Google shouting. If you don't know what shouting is, sorry. Shoot.
Some people will.
Okay, yeah, Google shout, and you'll probably find a bunch of videos that you'll probably get a good laugh out of.
We'll have to talk about. Well, we've committed to doing an episode addressing being a biracial couple in America today.
Yeah.
Later on, a little bit later on, we won't wait too long, but we will probably tell that story of when I learned what shouting was.
Oh, yeah, she didn't know what shouting was.
No, I had no idea.
I had to break her into it. I had to show her my footwork.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. That was awesome.
I put on some John P. Key, and I had to show her my footwork in the living room. She wasn't ready for that.
I really wasn't.
Yeah. And if you don't know who John P. Key is, Google him too. All right, come on. We've been real. We've been real.
I know. Right. And we probably should move on to the next one.
Yeah, so. When you talk about courage and courageous, like immediately that's who pops into my head. There are a lot of people that are courageous people that, you know, I admire for their strength and their courage. But definitely Jamal. Like I said, that's because our life experiences together, and that's immediately who pops into my mind. And then obviously my grandmother, just experiencing the life that I have with her and our relationship, and just her in general is courageous. But there are plenty of other people, but for time's sake, I can't list them all off. So.
Right. Yeah. So then what do you mean by Toto? The road dog.
The road dog. So once again, this dude done hit every category. Oh, the hearts, the smarts, the courage. If y'all don't know, this my brother right here, man. I got so much love for this dude. When you talk about road dog.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jamal Ross. I ain't going to say your middle name because I don't want to put you all the way on blast. But.
And the funny thing is, not funny, but he would do anything for me too. Like, just he loves you that much that he would take care of me or our kids. Like, that's just him. That's who he
is. Definitely. And not only that, his wife, she's on board too.
Oh, yeah.
She's Lori. Awesome. Yeah, she's on board too. I don't know if it's because he told her she had to be. No, I'm just kidding. No. I know you want to be Lori. We love you too. No, but Jamal, when you talk about road dog, this dude has seen me in some of my worst states and vice versa, and has been there and has never faltered one time when I needed him to be there, and I could always count on him. So when you talk about road dog, somebody that, you know, is going to be there, has been there, And plus, we know too much about each other to not be. I'm like, hey, if he ever decide to not be my road dog, like, I might have to take him out. I might have to take my man out. If he ever decide that, hey, man, this ain't working out, you know what I'm saying? No. We going to be like grumpy old man, me and him.
Oh, my gosh.
But no, we know too much
stuff. Lori are going to be like, living on an island, you guys can be your grumpy old men.
Hey, 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 if he ever decide to step away from his role as my road dog, me and him going to have to talk about it. He might not make it out of that talk. Oh, no, but that's what I mean. You know, somebody that got your back, somebody that you can depend on, count on, that's going to always be there. And like you said, you know, if anything did happen to me, and I hate saying that, like, I know he'll be there. Mm-hmm. And, like, I wouldn't even worry at all about you and the family because he going to hold it down. Trust you, me, for me. And I'll do the same for him. You know, vice versa. But that's my road dog. Everybody needs somebody like that.
Yes,
We didn't fell out. We didn't fall. This dude kicked me in the eye one time. That's a story for another day. This dude kicked me in the eye one time. But no.
On purpose?
Hey, we'll talk about that later. But we've had our falling outs, and that's a part of it. You know, we've grown together, and I love that dude.
So we've talked about the people who you should bring with you on your journey to be supportive, the people who have heart and give you heart and support you, the people who are bringing you knowledge and smarts, the people who are bringing courage that you can look up to, and then, of course, your road dog, Toto, right? Arf, yeah. Arf.
That's right.
And then...
Did she just
arf? I just arf-arfed.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not necessarily a bark.
That's
more
not.
Like a high dog... Okay, anyway.
Watching too much Puppy Dog.
Puppy Dog Pals. Disney Channel reference. So the last one before we end is just that we want to talk about watching out for the man behind the curtain, which of course in The Wizard of Oz is the Wizard of Oz himself.
That's right.
Right? It was not who he...
In today's times, they're called haters. So watch out for them haters, but we gon' come on, let's elegantly put it.
Okay.
The man behind the curtain.
So what advice for people do you have about not finding their support there, but about maybe just using a lot of discretion with people?
Yeah. So one thing that I said earlier is that, you know, it's your call who you allow on your journey. Something that I definitely want to say is lose the guilt. You know, what you think people may say, what you believe people may think, or what people will accept. It doesn't matter. It's your journey.
Yep.
So you definitely get to allow on your journey whoever you want to be on there, but also lose the guilt of feeling like you have to appease to everyone. Mm. And it's okay to ask for directions. You know, sometimes you might get lost or distracted or get off track, and you might need a little guidance, and it's okay. That's something that I used to have a hard time with because I just try to figure it out myself, but it's okay to ask for directions. Mm. And then life is going to bring you the detours, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Life is going to bring you the detours. So just making sure that you have your road dog, your support team, your support staff, or whatever it is for you. Whoever's on that journey for you. And then if you do get sidetracked, just reevaluate, reassess, and re-up and keep moving. Those would be the tips that I would definitely give. And when you're talking about being careful of your company, if the people that are in your group or that are on your journey with you are not willing to give you guidance, or they're not willing to help you out or uplift you, you might need to reevaluate, reassess, and re-up. Mm-hmm. And that may mean kicking some of them to the curb. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it straightforward, just like that.
There you go.
And when I said lose the guilt, who cares what they're going to say? Because they're going to say it regardless.
That's
except
true.
Except that it's just going to be behind your back. So, you know, lose that guilt. You don't have to worry about what
Good
they're
point.
Saying.
Yeah.
You know, try to figure out what they're thinking or what they're going to accept about you. So,
wow.
Those would be my tips.
Great.
If I could leave, you know, people with some, definitely about who you allow on your trip with you. And then while you're on the trip, those couple of things should definitely help you follow the yellow brick road, or bump that. You create your own path.
Ooh, even better.
Yeah, don't follow the yellow brick road if the yellow brick road ain't for you.
There you go. All right. I love it. I love getting to letting our listeners get to know you a little bit better, because Daryl's life journey has just been super interesting. And no matter how many times I hear it, it always just piques my interest even more to learn more about you.
I'm piquing her interest, y'all.
Okay. So we appreciate you guys listening, and just, you know, we love the support. Thank you guys so much. If you want to become an insider, we would love to have you become an insider. Again, we do, we share more of our lives in our Facebook group for insiders, photos, and we go live as often as we can. We ask questions, those kind of things. We want to include you guys just in this show. So go to our website, successinblackandwhite.com, and go to the Become an Insider tab and just click on that and send us your email, and we'll stick you in the Facebook group, and you'll get emails from us too whenever new episodes come out. So
do it. And follow us on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get to know us. Hang with us. Rock with us. At I am Daryl Lovett on all platforms.
Oh, yeah. And I'm at April Dawn Lovett. And you guys are probably going to hear that again in our outro.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's important. We're going to say it twice. So do it. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got for today.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what you want to see? You want to say bye to the people?
Oh, bye, friends.
I don't know. We was looking for, like, I was trying to think of something, like, entertaining and fancy to say, but that really didn't work out. And then I looked at her, and she looked back at me and gave me the, like, down look with the eye. So I guess we're just going to end it just like this.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. If you like today's episode, please subscribe to the Success in Black and White podcast. You'll get notified every time a new episode is posted, which is every Tuesday.
If you loved this episode, help us spread the love. Rate and leave a review on our iTunes podcast episode. Also, share that you listen on social media and tag us on your posts. My social media handle is I am Daryl Lovett on all social media platforms.
And mine is April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms as well. Thanks for listening.
Oh my gosh, you sound like Keith Sweat.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, did it record?